In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen. Today is Youth Sunday here at Annunciation, which means the 10 o'clock service will be taken over by Annunciation's amazing young people. That includes the sermon, which today will be a sketch that they will all perform together. Foolishly, I thought this meant I had Sunday off, until about Thursday afternoon when I realized that you 8 o'clockers might want a sermon too today. But I also don't want you all to miss out completely on today's theme. The theme of this year's Youth Sunday is the sacraments, because that is what the kids have been learning about and talking about for the past several months, and that will be the theme of the service at 10 o'clock. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about the sacraments as well. And it's an appropriate thing to talk about during the Easter season too. We believe that baptism, the first sacrament, is how we are buried with Christ in his death and are risen with him to a new life. The Eucharist was established right before Jesus died, and the Gospels give us Easter stories, like today's breakfast story from John, stories about how the risen Jesus will appear to us whenever we break bread together in this meal. I got to be part of the kids' rehearsal for their sketch at last week's Sunday Night Live, and two of the things that they're going to talk about today are two things that I've subsequently been pondering all week. It's two questions about the sacraments that some of you might have been taught an answer to in Sunday school at their age, or confirmation class, or maybe just picked up along the way. Those two questions are, what is the definition of a sacrament, and how many are there? And today, our kids will dutifully report what they have been taught, what many of us have been taught. The definition of a sacrament is an outward and visible, say along with me, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. So the bread and wine, the outward and visible sign, and the inward and visible grace is forgiveness and love, etc. And how many sacraments are there? How many? Well, the kids are going to say 7. Baptism, communion, confirmation, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, marriage, and ordination. These sorts of answers are appropriate for children to learn at their age, as it was for us. These answers are a good starting point. But let me today give you my quick advanced course on the sacraments, which means I'm going to undermine all the things you were ever taught and hold dearly as gospel truth. First, let's talk about that number, 7 sacraments. Now, of course, that number isn't universally agreed upon by Christians, as maybe we got a little bit of just now. If you ask a Lutheran how many sacraments there are, how many will they say? Anyone know? 2, baptism and Holy Communion, the 2 sacraments explicitly given by Jesus. If you ask a Baptist, or maybe some others, but if you ask a Baptist how many sacraments there are, how many will they say? 0.
They're ordinances,
yes. Give that man a gold star. Baptists think you can't receive grace through a ritual, so sacraments just aren't even really a thing. They're called ordinances, the things Jesus ordered us to do. And again, there are 2 of them, baptism and Holy Communion. In our own Anglican family, being the big tent church that we are, you can find folks who might espouse any one of these views about the sacraments, and they're all equally Episcopalian or Anglican. When I was taking my class in order to be received into the Episcopal Church, having come from the Roman Catholic Church, my rector told me that the most Episcopalian answer to the question of how many sacraments there are is at least 2 and as many as 7. It's a good middle ground Episcopal answer. Annunciation is historically a parish that leans toward the Catholic side of things, so 7 sacraments is what we teach, and I tend to be on that end of things as well. But let's be a little playful with that number, shall we? Let's wonder about some things. Maybe these might be things that you've wondered about yourself since you were taught that number, if you were. Why seven? Well, seven is a nice number, isn't it? It's a lucky number. But more than that, in the Bible, seven is the number of completion and perfection, as many of you know. The work of creation took 6 days, and it was perfected when God rested on the seventh. Even now, in the Old Testament reading we had, Jesse had seven sons. Seven of his sons passed by, and David was beyond perfection by being the eighth. It was probably just natural that as Christians developed rituals over time, they gravitated to naming seven of them as the sacraments. Seven sacraments to mark the completion, the perfection of a Christian life from cradle to grave. But there's a problem here, isn't there? Because one of those seven is ordination, or holy orders, as we used to say. Is a Christian life only really complete and perfected for those few who are called to be deacons, priests, and bishops? And one of those seven is marriage. Do you really have to get married in order to have a complete Christian life? Why name seven things if most Christians won't or can't do all of them? And while you're pondering that, go ahead and find a Book of Common Prayer in front of you. It's the small red book, those of you who don't know. And open it up in the first few pages. Find the table of contents at the very beginning. And if you flip through, you'll see the daily office, great litany, collects, turn the page. You'll see that this prayer book is not organized according to seven sections for seven sacraments. You can find all seven in there. Holy Baptism and Holy Eucharist are prominent. See, Holy Baptism gets its own section. Holy Eucharist gets its own section in the middle of the second page of the table of contents. There's a whole section for the three different kinds of ordination, all under the heading of Episcopal services, meaning things that only a bishop can do. So that's three of them, but the other four of the seven sacraments are a bit harder to find. Anyone see where they are? What section they're under? Go ahead. Pastoral offices. The rest of the seven are there indeed. Confirmation, reconciliation, marriage, ministration to the sick. But they're not alone, are they? What else do you see in this list? Go ahead, shout out some of these. Burial. Birth. Thanksgiving for the birth or adoption of a child. Do you see a form of commitment to Christian service? That's what you do if you basically want to become a monk or a nun or join a religious community of some sort. The question I have is, why aren't these sacraments too? For instance, the Episcopal theology of marriage, of the marriage rite, is that this is a sacrament inasmuch as it is the founding of a new household sanctified to God. Therefore, if you are, say, a single person who adopts or gives birth to a child, why shouldn't the service, which we call Thanksgiving for the birth or adoption of a child, why shouldn't that be as much of a sacrament for you as marriage is for a couple? They are both instances of founding a new household sanctified to God. Or if someone takes vows to join a religious community of monks or nuns or whatever, why is that less of a sacrament than the vows that Linda and I took when we were ordained? And as long as I'm rocking the boat, I'll just overturn it. There are other things that Jesus commands us, orders his disciples to do, but what somehow didn't get on the list of those seven sacraments. If you were here on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter, you heard John's version of the Last Supper story. And you may have noticed that John never mentions bread and wine at the Last Supper. In this story, there is no ritual meal that comes out of this Last Supper. Instead, he describes a different ritual, a ritual that we Episcopalians only observe on Maundy Thursday, having our feet washed. In that gospel, Jesus is adamant that his followers do this. He says to Peter, "Unless you have your feet washed, you will have no share in my kingdom." That seems to fit our definition of a sacrament, doesn't it? An outward and visible sign, the foot washing, inward and spiritual grace, having a share in the kingdom of God, and something given directly from Jesus for us to do as a church. So why isn't foot washing on the list of sacraments? Or in today's gospel story, John asks us to consider whether this breakfast in which the risen Christ appears to his disciples was any less a true Holy Communion because they had fish with their bread instead of wine. Or finally, try this one on for size. Jesus told his disciples that when you share water with the thirsty, clothed naked, visit the prisoner, you are doing these things for Jesus himself. That sounds to me like outward signs of an inward spiritual grace. So why isn't service to the needy a sacrament? Isn't this at least as much the mark of a complete Christian life as going through confirmation? Well, now that I've overturned the boat, let me see if I can write it again. What are we to do with these traditional seven sacraments? Are we misleading our children in teaching them about them? Should we go the way of the Lutherans or even the Baptists? Should we come up with a new list of seven? Sometimes I wonder if we could do it kind of like the DMV. You know, when you get a new license, you have to prove your identity. There's like a list A and a list B. You need a couple from list A and a couple from list B. We could have list A sacraments, the sacraments you have to do, and list B sacraments. Pick five. Or we could take the original seven and expand them. Say, expand holy orders to something like holy service, to include things like feeding the hungry in Jesus' name. Who knows? All sorts of options are open to us, including just sticking with the traditional seven. And if we don't reform the list, perhaps all we need to do is reform how we think about them and how we use them. Like it is for our youth today, learning about the seven sacraments is an excellent starting point. Because they're not about completing a Christian life, but about getting a Christian life going in the right direction. I've recently taken up oil painting again, which is something I haven't done since high school. And if you go to Michael's or Blick's or any kind of art store, they sell these great starter sets for oil painting. Handy little packs that include small tubes of the spectrum of colors, brushes, knives, and even a palette. And I wonder if we can think of the sacraments in a similar way. The sacraments are a Christian starter set, not tasks to check off our Christian to-do list before we die, but tools, colors, with which we start to paint a life that is fully consecrated to God. A Christian life is not complete and perfected by going through all the sacraments. Rather, a Christian life is perfected by living sacramentally. The sacraments invite us to see the sacramentality of all things, the inward and spiritual grace that awaits us in each and every person we meet, and in every last thing in all creation. The more we see and hear and smell and taste and touch the grace of God that flows through all things, the more we ourselves become the one sacrament that ultimately matters. Our own lives as individuals and as community become the outward and visible sign of God's grace and justice and love. Amen.